Hey friends, this is Pastor Luis Velasquez, and it's so good to connect with you. We recorded a version yesterday in our service for August 7th, and unfortunately the audio was not working as well as we would have liked it to be, and so we are recording it today. The scripture for this past Sunday, for August 7th, comes from the book of Hebrews, and it says this. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he left not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven, in number and as the innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country which they left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's amazing to read the text. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I thought about a movie, one of the movies that I loved, you know, growing up, and that's Lion King. Not the new one, not the new movie that came out a few years ago, but the original one that came out in the 90s. It's the first movie that I watched in English. I came to the States when I was 9, and I was in love with that movie, and I kept watching it so much that my mother got annoyed by it. And I remember this strong feeling of connection to Simba, who, as you remember, was the son of King Mufasa, the one who would inherit his kingdom. And I've watched it a few times, even now that I'm older. And I think that one of the things that I love the most about the movie is Simba's comeback story. Now remember that in theory, Simba was born to be king. It was supposed to be an easy thing, right? But unfortunately, in the story, we learn that Uncle Scar is being envious, and he wants to be in power. And so Scar betrays the kingdom, betrays his brother, betrays the whole family, and has his own brother killed. And Scar blames Simba for his father's death, and Simba believes it, and he flees at a very early age, leaving his mother behind, leaving his whole life behind while he is still very young. And after he flees, he meets unlikely friends. He meets people who are very different than him. He meets a warthog. He meets a meerkat and begins to have a life with them and begins to eat like them, begins to think like them. And there is this scene in the movie that is emotional for me every time that I watch it, is when his father comes out of the sky and the father encourages Simba, to dig deep into his roots, to look inward. And the first image, you know, that I see is this image I've seen on Facebook is a cat that is looking at itself in a reflection, and the reflection has a lion. And it's one of those moments of awakening for Simba, and he decides to go back and to confront his uncle. He decides to go back to his land. And one of the reasons why I thought about this movie is because as I read the whole book of Hebrews, I realized that all of the stories that the author of Hebrews mentions are comeback stories. It's a collection of comeback stories. We hear stories that we have probably heard in our upbringing. Stories about Abraham, stories about Moses, stories about Isaac, Joseph, Enoch, Ruth. All of these stories the author is weaving together. And many believe that the letter that is being written is being addressed to Jewish Christians. And surely enough, the people who are here in the book of Hebrews know these stories, these comeback stories. And in essence, also the story of Israel is a story of comeback. Just think about it. One single thread, one single theme of the Old Testament is Israel returning to God. Remember that for about 40 years, the Israelites were lost, wandering. Remember that it is Israel who betrays God because Israel begins to commit injustices to the poor, to those who are most vulnerable. Remember the prophets who are sent by God to remind the elite, the powerful, to turn back to God, to turn back and to serve God's people. Remember the story of Abraham that is mentioned in this passage as well. Abraham and Sarah are the foundational family of Israel. And think about God's promise to Abraham. God makes a promise to Abraham to immigrate from Ur. And the only promise was that God would bless them in their journey. And afterwards, it's Sarah as well. God makes a promise with her that she would bear children even though she was past the age of bearing children. And so it's a story of comebacks, a story that in essence is encouraging that community that is being addressed to in Hebrews, and is encouraging us as well to keep the faith, to live our faith as disciples. I think about different stories of my life and, you know, growing up, and I still do as well. I love soccer, and growing up, I became very close to a soccer player. I kept up with him in his story, and I remember that in 2007 is when I really got in connection with him. So he was playing for Barcelona, and he was still a undiscovered figure in 2004. I had heard about him, I didn't keep up with him, but it's until 2007 when there's big soccer goals that are made, and I begin to learn more about him. And you may have heard of him, his name is Messi, and he's a big figure now. But back in the 2000s, he wasn't. He was just getting to be known. And what I loved about his story was that he came out of nowhere. He was a son of people who were daily workers like you and I. He was diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency at the age of 11. He struggled with asthma. And there were a lot of things that were stacked up against him. And he got signed with Barcelona at the age of 12, and he broke a lot of thresholds. And I just love his story. I started to follow him. And in many ways, that empowered me. It empowered me to follow my dreams, to follow what I had envisioned for myself. And I mentioned that story to have us reflect and think about the stories that have empowered us, the stories of faith that have helped us move in our journeys. Think about another story that is more recent in the last few years that showed me about what it means to live as a disciple. I think of a visit that I made at a hospital of a woman who was in her mid-80s, and it was a very powerful encounter that I had. And here I was as a student chaplain, praying and thinking, in what ways can I support this person? It turned out that she helped me understand more of God. Her mother had passed a few years ago, and she had died at the age of 96. More recently, her sister had passed away. And as I was listening to her story, she also shared with me that her only son had passed away at the age of his 30s. And as I was listening to her story, I realized what a strong and fearless woman she was. One of the things that impacted me was that she said, you know what, I believe in heaven. I am a disciple. I am a person of faith. I believe in Jesus. But you know, I've been thinking more and more as I get older that there's a lot of things that we think as Christians or just as believers that sometimes it's more about power and control than about really believing it in a genuine way. And she said something that I will always remember. She said, you know that if there isn't a heaven, which I believe and I wanted it to be true so I can see my family members again, so I can hug them again. But you know what? If there isn't a heaven, I am still grateful that I got the opportunity to be with my mother, to be with my son, and with my sister. I am ready to receive whatever God has ready for me. And it was a humbling experience because in her model, in her own way, she was being a disciple of Jesus Christ. She was surrendering everything about herself. And she was saying, God, just do your will. Whatever you have for me, I have no control or power in what you will do. But I'm just ready to receive. And that's a story that has lingered in my heart and that I've gone back to because her model of discipleship is so unique. So what is your story? What is the stories of people that you keep in your heart? What's the story that you keep in your luggage whenever you're going through difficult times? That's what exactly the author of Hebrews is doing as he's weaving in together these stories of Scripture. Yes, God chooses immigrants like Abraham. Yes, God chooses people who have failed over and over again. God chooses people who are in the periphery, not at the center. People who are imperfect like you and I. People who are vulnerable, who are aging. People who society has forgotten, people who have wandered off. Yet God has plans for us. Our story of faith weaves in so many amazing people, so many significant people who we carry in our hearts. And I think about a meeting that I had as I began to be part of the Crossroads community. It was a leadership board meeting, and the essence of what I got that night in the meeting was that everyone just wanted to be part of something that would transform people. I remember hearing people say, I don't want to be at the center of things. I want to just serve. Whatever you need from us, we just want to serve. We just want to take the good news of love and of hope. And it was a very humbling experience hearing that people wanted to just serve, not be the most popular or be at the center of things. Just wanted to serve, do anything that would help people. And so sometimes there are those stories. Not stories like Messi or stories like Simba, which are these bigger than life stories, but more of a story that doesn't get the attention of people who are faithful, like the person who I met at the hospital, or people like who we know around us, who are consistent, who serve. And so my hope and prayer is that today and throughout the weeks to come, that we can continue to share these comeback stories, these stories who have made significant changes in our life, and that we can meditate and think deeply and encourage us to live our faith as disciples. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.